Well, thank you guys for, wow, you guys braved it all the way from the West. That's excellent. I'm surprised to see so many people here. This is great. I thought for sure there'd just be a few people because of the snow. I'd have to bring everybody forward a little bit. Well, it's good to have everybody here. Last week, I started a message because that was the Sunday before the first of the year. And so I started to share a message about how God redeems all situations, how he redeems all things. And I want to continue on that message today, and I want to do a little bit of review, first of all, and start with where we left off. And for those of you who weren't here last week, forgive me. I know my voice is going to get stronger as we go through the morning. Amen. But I want to review just some of the things we looked at last week, for those of you that weren't here, so we can just have that same background as we move forward in this. Because I think it's important for us to understand and to know that God is a redeemer. It is his nature to redeem situations. It's his nature to redeem things. He is a redeemer. And so as we leave one year and start a brand new year, we need to remember that it's his nature to redeem. When we start a new year, we have a tendency to look back and review the things of the years that were just completed. But we also tend to look forward to see those things in anticipation of the good things that God has for us. And we want those things. But oftentimes we get stuck because of the unfinished business of the year before. And that's what I want to talk about. Because whatever the baggage is that you had from 2013, leave the baggage from 2013 in the year past. Let's not send it ahead of us into 2014. Because whatever situations you have, whatever circumstances, God's nature, Jesus is a redeemer. And he redeems all those situations. Rachel, it's weird seeing you in the back row. That threw me off for a second. When I was a little kid, I remember in the neighborhood that I was at, there was this dog. I don't even know whose dog it was, but I just remember the situation. There was a dog that, I don't know if a kid did it or if he just happened to get tangled up, but he had this rope like attached to his hindquarters or his leg, and it was one of those ropes that had a tether ball on the end of it. And so this dog was, he'd look at that tether ball, and he'd turn around, and he'd bark, and he'd yell, and then he'd try to run away from it. But as he's running, of course, he's just dragging the ball behind him. It's just bouncing, and he's feeling that behind him. And so he'd stop, and he'd bark, and then he'd run. He'd try to outrun this thing. But wherever he went, this tether ball went with him. And because he was so busy looking at the tether ball, he wasn't watching where he was running. And he'd run into shrubs. He'd trip and fall down. And I mean, as kids, as an adult, it's not very funny. But as kids, it was just funny to watch this dog do this. But that's exactly what we do in our lives all the time. That baggage that we have from past circumstances, we don't have to drag it with us. You know, we can do the same thing. If we let those situations that are unredeemed go unredeemed, it will be like that tether ball bouncing around behind us. We'll drag it from the last year into the new year to come. And that's not what God has for us. So we were looking at those things. And I also gave you a definition last week of redemption. In Webster's Dictionary, this is what redeemed means. Redeem means to rescue that which was lost. That's exactly what Jesus Christ does. Those situations that you count as loss in your life, he turns those things around and he redeems those situations. He rescues that which was lost. It also says in Webster's that redeem is to buy back. That's exactly, even Webster's understands it. That's exactly what Jesus did. By the price of his blood, he bought back whatever it is that you feel was a loss. He's already bought that back. It says he takes those bad situations or those unpleasant situations and it's to make those things good or better. So this is my definition. This is Todd's definition of what it means for Jesus Christ to redeem. To redeem means that Jesus takes all of those situations that are bad situations in your life. He takes those things, he resolves them, he corrects them, and he redeems that which was lost. And because he is a God of abundance, when he redeems something, he redeems it, and you get back more than what you lost. That's the beauty of serving Jesus Christ. Whatever it is that you count as loss, and you know what? There might be situations in your life that have been unredeemed for years. It might not just be something you're taking from 2013 into 2014. It could be something that is from years that's been unredeemed. Well, the brand new year is the time for us to remember these things and to remember that God's a redeemer and to give those situations to Jesus Christ. Because even if it's been a loss for you for years, whatever you feel you've lost, he's a God of abundance. And when he redeems it, you're going to get it back better than what you had to begin with. Now, last week I also shared some experiences from my own personal life. You know, one that I was, you know, I lived. One that I shared with Alice's permission from her life. And Alice was a beautiful illustration because Alice was the illustration of exactly what I'm talking about. God took what was lost, time that was lost, and not only redeemed, but God's a God of abundance. And Alice, when she said to me a few years ago, do you remember when we had, if you missed that story last week, I'm not going to go back through it. Listen, go online and listen to it. It's a great story that Alice has. I'm sure I'll use that illustration again at some point. But when she came to me and said, do you remember that you said that God would redeem the time? And I said, yeah, I remember that. More than 10 years after the fact. And she said, he's more than redeemed it. And I'm not trying to put words in Alice's mouth, but I know that what she was expressing was, and I guess she even has said this on occasion, I must be God's favorite. Because her life is so great, and that which she thought was a loss has been restored and redeemed with abundance. This is who God is. Last week, we also looked at the story of Jeremiah. In Jeremiah chapter 32, there's a story of Jeremiah buying that field at Anathoth. It's impossible to say Anathoth and not sound like you have a speech impediment. So I'm going to say this throughout. It's not a speech impediment. It's the way the word, I looked it up. It is the correct pronunciation, Anathoth. So we looked at that, and that's the story of God taking a situation and redeeming it, and redeeming that which was lost. And it was God's example to the people. So I'm going to look at those verses again in just a few moments. It's Jeremiah chapter 32. We're going to look at verses 6 through 9. But to give you again the background on the story, Jeremiah is living, in chapter 32, he's living at a time when the city of Jerusalem, which is a part of Judah, is under siege. It's surrounded by the most powerful army in the world at that time, the Babylonians. And the Babylonians have not laid siege to it. They've already built up siege walls that will eventually, within a matter of days or weeks, lead to the fall of Jerusalem. So that's what's taking place. And Jeremiah is the prophet of God. He's the one that is saying, he's prophesying during this whole time. He's actually imprisoned in Jerusalem because of his prophecy. King Zedekiah doesn't like his prophecy. His prophecy is that you, King Zedekiah, and you, all you people of Jerusalem, you are going into captivity in Babylon because of your disobedience, because of your sinfulness. King didn't like that, so he's imprisoned in Jerusalem. So this is the situation as we look at these verses. Jeremiah chapter 32, verses 6 through 9. And Jeremiah said, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, behold, Hanamel, the son of Shalom, your uncle, will come to you, saying, buy my field, which is in Anathoth, for the right of redemption is yours to buy it. Then Hanamel, my uncle's son, came to me in the court of the prison, according to the word of the Lord, and he said to me, please buy my field that is in Anathoth, which is in the country of Benjamin, for the right of inheritance is yours, and the redemption yours. Buy it for yourself. Then, this is Jeremiah now saying, then I knew that this was the word of the Lord. So I bought the field from Hanamel, the son of my uncle, who was in Anathoth, and weighed out to him money, 17 shekels of silver. So God has told Jeremiah, your relative is going to come to you and he's going to ask you to buy this field at Anathoth. And Jeremiah knows that he has to buy that field at Anathoth. And he knows he has to buy it even though, because he's been the one that's been prophesying this, he knows that within days this property is going to become worthless because it's going to fall into the hands of the Babylonians. So he's paying for property that within days is going to be entirely worthless. But he does it because it's what the Lord tells him to do. And we'll look at these verses in a few minutes, but in verses 14 and 15, he makes it very clear that he purchases this land in a very public fashion because he wants all of Jerusalem to see this unwise in the natural, this unwise purchase that he's making. So that's what's taking place. Now, my question is, why is God asking Jeremiah to make this purchase? Why is he telling Jeremiah to buy this land that Jeremiah knows is going to become worthless within just a matter of days? Well, part of the reason is that God is using this as an example to show his people that he is faithful to his promises to redeem. It is God's nature to redeem that which is lost. It's God's nature to redeem those situations which appear or feel hopeless to you. This is what his nature is. This is why God is encouraging and telling Jeremiah that this is what he has to do. Even in the midst of this terrible situation that the nation of Judah, that the people of Jerusalem are about to enter into, they're about to embark upon a horrible situation of captivity for 70 years. And they're going to go into that captivity because of their own sinfulness. It's their own actions that have brought them to this terrible place that they're going to. They've actually forfeited the promised land. The promised land, which had been spoken about all through the early parts of the Old Testament and was given to them, they've forfeited it because of their sinfulness. But God said, I'm going to redeem that which you lost. This is God's nature. His nature is to redeem. Too many times, this is what we wind up doing. We make the same mistake. We consider something that is lost. If there's something because of the circumstances of life, or by my own actions or decisions, has caused me to lose something, too many times what we do is we look at something that is lost and we count it as lost. And we give it up. That is the exact opposite of what you and I as believers should be doing. God is a redeemer. He will redeem those things, and he's a God of abundance. So when he redeems, he's going to restore it, and he's going to restore it to you multifold. You will get it back. If you stand in faith and believe his word, you will get back what was lost, and you'll get it back better than it was before you lost it. This is the nature of God. Let's look at verse number 8 again specifically. For the right of inheritance is yours, and the redemption is yours. Buy it for yourself. Then I knew that this was from the Lord. This whole thing, this whole set of circumstances, this whole issue of God telling Jeremiah to buy the field of Anathoth, this is all about redemption. It's about God redeeming that which was lost. Whatever it is in your life, if you've suffered loss from something, if it's something that you lost just because of the circumstances of life, through no fault of your own, but it's lost. Or if it's something that you've lost because I messed up, because of a mistake that I made. Whatever the circumstances, whatever the reason, whatever happened, if it's circumstances of life or my fault, my mistakes, it makes no difference whatsoever. If I am looking at something and I'm saying, God, I messed that up royally. I need a do-over on this. This is the nature of God. He will redeem the situation. He'll redeem it so that it works to your good and to his glory. So what are the things that you've been carrying with you, like that dog dragging that tether ball behind you all year long? Don't drag it into this new year. The new year is a reminder for us. Wait a minute, these are the promises of God. I'm not going to take those things from last year into this year. I'm going to believe that he is a redeemer of all situations, and he will redeem those things for us. This purchase of the field of Anathoth by Jeremiah, it's Jeremiah's statement of faith. It's actually Jeremiah putting faith in action. If we need, this verse is a great reminder for us of the promises of God, the things that he has. If it wasn't for the statement of faith, if it wasn't for this action of faith, otherwise it makes no sense. It's illogical to buy this field which is about to become worthless. It makes no sense whatsoever. This was his statement of faith. It was a statement of faith to all of those in Judah and in Jerusalem who were about to go into exile. They were witnesses to this transaction. They saw it. He made sure, we'll look at those verses in a few moments, he made sure that all of Jerusalem saw what he was doing. He wanted them to see so that they would know that the land that they lost would come back to them when the exile was complete. That God would redeem what was theirs, what he gave them and what they lost. God takes, even in those most hopeless situations, even in those things that you have counted as lost and given up as lost, pick it back up again. Don't count it as lost. Because in those things that seem most hopeless to be redeemed, those are the things that Jesus Christ can redeem if we'll give it to him. But somebody had to move in faith. Somebody had to take a step of faith, and that's what we see Jeremiah doing. That's the example that Jeremiah is giving us. Jeremiah took a step of faith. We looked at this last week. James tells us that faith without action is dead. If we're believing, if we want to see the impossible take place in our lives, if we want to see those things that seem beyond redemption redeemed, we have to put action to our faith. And this is what we learn from Jeremiah. Now, one of the hardest principles for us to understand, one of the hardest principles for us to get into our minds and really grasp and hold on to and believe is we have to move in obedience and faith before we see the promises of God. That's not the way we want to do it. We have to move in faith. We have to obey Him. Then we will see the promises come to pass. You don't have to go there, but if you look at the story of Elijah, we didn't know anything about him until 1 Kings chapter 17. Then all of a sudden, here's the man of God that in obedience to God goes to King Ahab, stands before the king, and says to the king, because of your sins and because of the sins of these people that you've led them in, at my word, I'm going to speak a drought, and there will be a drought and a famine over this land until I say otherwise. And at the moment that Elijah speaks those words, the drought comes. Well, Elijah doesn't have like prepaid tickets on United to fly from Israel to the United States where there's a land of plenty. I mean, he is there where he spoke famine and drought. He's there. He has to endure the famine and the drought just as everybody else does. And you can tell by the text, when you read chronologically the text, you can see that Elijah has no idea what God's plan is for him. He just knows that God told him to go speak to the king. He spoke the word prophetically. And when you see that he spoke the word prophetically to the king, then after he was obedient and moved in faith, then God said, Elijah, here's the plan I have for you. Go to the river Cherith, and I'm going to make provision for you there. The river's going to provide the water, and I'm going to bring ravens. They will bring you food every day. Elijah didn't know that until he operated in faith, until he obeyed and operated in faith. That's a hard principle for us. We can know it here, but it's a hard principle for us to put into practice. But this is one of the lessons we get from Jeremiah. God's nature is to redeem. He wants, in each one of our lives, He wants to redeem those situations that we count and hold as loss. He wants to see you enjoying the abundance of what you thought was gone forever and was lost. This is the nature of God. This is who He is. So He redeems all of those things. As we look at those examples, or as we look at that truth, there's a couple of examples, and I can't remember if I told this to you guys a couple weeks ago or not. But at Yes FM, we had our fall share-a-thon, and basically we need all the money from share-a-thon to make sure that we can broadcast for the next 6 months. And our fall share-a-thon was the worst share-a-thon that I can remember. I don't think I remember one worse as far as being behind where we were supposed to be percentage-wise. I think when we finished, we were less than 40%. I think we were like 33 or 35%. I mean, it was really bad. But here's the thing that spoke to me. Because all the staff, and Kim and Alice are there, but all the staff, this was true. There was not panic or uncertainty in anyone's face, in anyone's expressions. Nobody threw their hands up in despair. Everybody went about their job. And I told her, I was very honest with people. You know, the money that we have right now is enough money to get us through. This is back in early December. I said, the money we have right now is enough money to get us maybe through January. Probably not all the way through January. Then after that, we have no money to operate. And you know what? Everybody just did their jobs as though they expected. They kept doing the things that they were supposed to do as though they expected that God would take care of it, even though there was no evidence to it. And I think it's because everybody operated in faith and did what they were supposed to do. And they know and they trust the Lord that I got this phone call from Jeff one day, and he said, I think you're going to need to call this guy. And so I called him, and this has never happened to me in the 17 years that I've been there. This guy, to make a really long story short, said, I got a check for $25,000. Can I meet you tomorrow? I'll meet you anywhere you want. I will come to where you are. I mean, God provided, and then once we got that $25,000 in, all of a sudden, everything else started to fall together. What are we now, like $2,000 away from our goal? I mean, we're not far away from it. We will definitely get our goal, which in the natural looked impossible. Just 6 weeks ago looked impossible. But this is what God does. He redeems situations. But it took acting in faith. Because that's the hard principle. We have to believe. We have to act in faith and act in obedience. Then we'll see the promises come to pass. You know, when Don and I, when we knew that we were supposed to start City on a Hill, and we knew that years ago, but when we knew it was time to start to put it in operation, when we signed the lease for this place, we knew a couple people that were going to come. And we knew that we had people standing with us, but we signed the lease. Don and I sat in a Tim Hortons with this realtor who was a very nice guy, but we're signing this lease, which I even said to him, look, I want this lease to say that if for some reason, you know, because it's a 5-year lease, it's over $100,000. And he said, your names are the ones that money doesn't come in, you guys have to pay. And I said, well, there needs to be something in the lease that gives us an option out. He said, no, this is the way that the lease reads. And so Don and I said to ourselves, is this what God called us to do? Because if it is, we have to be all in. If it means that we wind up having to pay that $150 or whatever $1,000 it would be over those 5 years, then are we committed to taking all of our savings to do whatever? If it means wiping out everything, this is what God said. Yes, we are. So we took a step of faith and we signed our names on that. And you know, we had no idea at that point. This place was a shell. We had no idea how it was all going to work out, but God brought across the people. He brought about faithful people who served, faithful people who provided the money, and he took care of all the details. And there was no stress in it whatsoever. Well, maybe Donna felt some stress, but I didn't feel any stress at all. I'm not responsible for the finances, so I had no stress whatsoever. But once we took that step of faith, then we saw the plan. Then he put it all together. So that's the hard principle for us to remember. But remember, it's God's nature to redeem, and he wants to redeem those things in our lives. When we're able to operate in faith to the degree that I'm talking about, when we can operate, when you can operate in that kind of faith, when you can operate in those kinds of field of Anathoth moments that you get in your life, those actions of faith that you take, they will impact other people who are watching. There are people who are watching who will be influenced. They'll be encouraged. They'll have hope because they watch you in that field of Anathoth moment that you take advantage of. And they do operate in that faith. These are the things that God's called us to do. Too often what we wind up doing is not moving until we see. We don't buy that field at Anathoth. We don't take that step of faith until we see evidence of God moving in that direction. But that's not the way faith works. Faith is you move before you see the results. That's what faith is. That's how we're supposed to do things. But we do it backwards. We say, well, God, I'm ready to move as soon as you bring about, as soon as I can see that you're putting things in place, then I will move. I know what I'm supposed to do, and I'll move when I see you move. You're going to be frustrated all of your life because we have to move first. We obey in faith. Then we'll see God. Then we'll see him start to move. Then we'll see those things come to pass in our lives. Faith requires action. I would even go so far as to say that faith demands action. And the beautiful thing here in this story of Jeremiah buying that field at Anathoth, the beautiful thing about that story, that's not the dog that had the tether. But he's tethered to a human being. I forgot what I was saying. Oh, God requires, faith requires there to be some action, demands that there to be some kind of action in all things. And the beautiful thing in that story about Jeremiah in the field of Anathoth is that is God giving Jeremiah an opportunity. It's an action that he can take to put his faith into motion. God gives us those opportunities. If you have a situation or a circumstance in your life that needs to be redeemed, God will give you, he will present to you opportunities to step out in that faith. But we have to have our eyes open and see those things. And it's going to look nonsensical to you because it's not going to make any sense in the natural to do whatever it is that God has given you an opportunity to do. It's going to be like buying a field that's going to be worthless in a few days. But look for those opportunities because he's going to present them to you. This is how we redeem. This is how we walk in to the redemption of those situations. Now, there's a lot of circumstances, or there's a lot of times that we stay in situations that are bad situations, and we stay there because we know that we brought ourselves to that place. We know that it was our actions that brought us to that place. And because we know that it was my own mistakes, my own bad choices, because we know that, we feel like we deserve that. And so we just reside and stay right there. We endure whatever that bad situation is. I'm telling you, that's not the way it is as a believer in Jesus Christ. That's not the way that it's supposed to be. Let Jesus redeem even the mistakes that you've made. Don't sit and endure just because you know you brought it upon yourself. If you're in a situation where you feel helpless because you know that you brought yourself to that place, you know it was your questionable choices or your bad judgment or just your out-and-out disobedience to God, you know that's what brought you to that place. When you feel helpless in those situations, the story of Jeremiah should be your encouragement. It should be your hope. It should be your guidance and your direction for how to see that situation redeemed. I was just like 2 weeks ago asked to go pray for a family because I didn't know the family per se, but there was a woman who was 44 years old, and she was in the hospital, and they asked me to go because they wanted somebody there for the family because they were unplugging life support. Is that the proper way to say it? That sounds kind of tacky. They were turning off the life support, and they knew that she would only live an hour, maybe a couple hours, after they took her off life support. And so they asked me to be there for that time, and as I was outside the hospital room after they took her off life support, one of the family members came out, and she was talking to me, and she said, well, it is unfortunate, because it is weird somebody 44 years old to be in that situation. And she said, well, it's unfortunate life choices that she made that brought her to this place. And so I don't know if that meant, you know, alcohol, drugs, smoking. I don't know what that meant. But obviously she had made choices in her life that led her to that place. And the thought process that we have is, well, this is her only choice. This is what she brought upon herself, so the consequences she has to endure. That's not true. Even though it was her life choices that brought her to that place, Jesus Christ can redeem even those situations that seem hopeless. My point is, whatever the situation is that you're looking at that you would think to yourself has been unredeemed for days, months, or even years, Jesus can redeem and will redeem. I would even say to you, he's already redeemed those situations. It's just a matter of what are we going to do with it? Are we going to believe that and embrace that and receive that? Whatever the situation is that I might be in, even if it's because of my own circumstances, you and I are not associated with losing. We're associated with winning. We're associated with victory because we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And Jesus only has victory. This is the beauty about walking in the new covenant and the promises that we have in Jesus Christ. The beauty of it is, now listen to this, you don't get what you deserve. You get what he deserves, which is victory in everything. So again, think about those situations that need to be redeemed. And if they've been dragging behind you like that tetherball, cut them loose. Let them be redeemed. And you will have that restored. And what you thought was lost forever is going to be returned to you multifold, better than it ever was before. This is the beauty of walking in Jesus Christ. And again, it's not tied to just because this is a brand new year and God works by our calendar. But when we go into a new year, it's a good time for us to remember and think about these things and think about who God is and what his nature is. And in the same way that we think, well, here's the resolutions that we want to have. Don't have resolutions. Have goals that you're going to receive that you know this is what I'm going to receive from Jesus Christ in this year to come. These are the promises that he has for us. So let's go back and look at the Levitical standard that this cousin of Jeremiah was using to hold him to a place of buying this land that was about to become worthless. If you go back in Leviticus chapter 25, verses 23 and 25, Leviticus is way back in the first five books. It says, "The land shall not be sold permanently, for the land is mine." This is God saying the land is mine. "For you are strangers and sojourners with me. And in all the land of your possession, you shall grant redemption of the land. If one of your brethren becomes poor and has sold some of his possessions, and if his redeeming relative comes to redeem it, then he may redeem what his brother was sold." So what is all that saying? What does that mean to us? This is saying that according to Levitical law, the redeemer is the one who comes to take back that which was lost or that which was sold. He redeems it and he restores it. This is God saying to you and I, God takes ownership of his land. He says there, the land is mine. He's taking ownership of it. He's saying that land is mine. It doesn't matter what mistakes that you made. The land is mine, and I will not give it up. In spite of whatever you do, I will not give it up. Well, the good news is, he takes ownership of you and I as well. He owns you. He owns your life. He will not give it up, even in spite of the bad decisions or the disobedience that may have led me to a place that I don't want to be in a specific situation. Jesus is, by his nature, a redeemer of all things. Look at verse number 25. Verse number 25, this is essentially what it's saying. If one of your brethren, that's you and I, if one of your brethren, you and I, has sold his possessions. Or in other words, if you've lost or you've yielded or you've sold something other because of life circumstances have taken it away or because of my own questionable decisions. If you and I have lost or sold something, then the redeeming relative, that is Jesus Christ. It's by the nature of his shed blood, he is your redeeming relative. Then the redeeming relative comes to redeem that which was lost. This is what Leviticus is saying. This is the principle behind what we see Jeremiah doing. Whatever it is that was lost, Jesus is the redeemer who will come. He will redeem what you've lost. He will redeem your situation, whatever it is, no matter how overwhelming it feels, no matter how oppressive or how long it's been there, he will redeem. Again, I would go so far as to say, he has already redeemed your situation. This is the goodness of God. If this principle of redeeming that which was lost is true for Jeremiah, then how much more true is it for you and I as believers in this new covenant? I've shared with you the field of Anathoth in Jeremiah chapter 32. But if we go back one chapter into Jeremiah chapter 31, you see a promise, an amazing promise that God made to you. Before any of this took place with Jeremiah at the field of Anathoth, God makes a promise to you. Listen to what he says. This is Jeremiah 31, chapter 31, verse number 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with Israel, the house of Israel, and with the house of Judah. He's talking about you. This is thousands of years ago. And before the field of Anathoth, this is God's promise to you, saying, I will make a new covenant. You and I live in that new covenant today. This is what is ours. Jesus has already redeemed everything. He's made everything new. He's already redeemed all of your situations. They're already redeemed. Whether you see it or not, they're already redeemed. All that's left for you and I to do is to believe. It's to act in faith, to believe, and to seize that which he's already done for us. To lay hold of this promise that's for us. These things are already done on our behalf. It's done whether you see it or not. It's already done. He's redeemed it. To those who continue and walk in faith, they will see. Those who remain steadfast in faith will see all of those situations and all of those things redeemed. Now, let's take this whole concept and move it to the New Testament and get a New Testament perspective on it. Let's look at Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 16. I'm going to look at it from two different versions. First of all, from the Amplified Bible, and then from the New King James Bible. So Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 16. After you go through the Gospels, you get Acts, you get Romans, you get 1 and 2 Corinthians. Then you get into those smaller epistles, and it's Galatians and Ephesians. Ephesians 5:16 says this, making the most of the time, buying up each opportunity because the days are evil. Make the most out of the year that you have in front of you. Make the most out of every day. Redeem the time in Jesus Christ. That means buy up every opportunity that you have to walk into that liberty and freedom that comes only from Jesus Christ. Redeeming every situation that you have, every hour of every day of your life. This is what that promise is saying to us. Redeem those things. Make the most out of what He has bought for you, what He has purchased for you. Now let's look at that from the New King James. The New King James says it this way, redeeming the time because the days are evil. When you look in the Greek at the word redeeming, redeeming there means very close to what Webster's Dictionary said. It means to rescue, rescuing that which was lost, rescuing the lost. But it also means, and this is very interesting, it also means, make sure I get this right, improve your opportunities. Improved opportunities. Redeemed means that Jesus Christ is going to restore whatever you count as lost, He will restore it. This is saying the same thing we saw earlier. He presents opportunities. Today, tomorrow, every day, if our eyes are open and we're looking, He presents opportunities for us to improve our situation and to improve the circumstances of our life, to improve even those situations which we have allowed to go unredeemed for days or months or even years. And then look at the word time. The Greek word there for time in that verse from Ephesians 5:16 in the New King James means an opportune time. So just as Jeremiah made a show of the faithfulness of God to redeem his situation, Jeremiah made a show of that to all of Judah. We saw that in those two verses. He made a very public demonstration. He made a show of God's faithfulness. In the same way, when we allow God to redeem a situation in our life, to take something that we counted as loss and to turn it around so that it becomes gain, when we allow those things to take place, there are those who are looking, there are those who are watching that will see that and will know that God's word is true. I don't think we really fully realize how many people are watching our lives, watching your lives, because they know you're Christians, because they know that you're believers. All right, so in conclusion, I love this part. It's really simple. This is what Anathoth actually means. The word Anathoth means answered prayer. Anathoth means answered prayer. Purchase your field of Anathoth. Grab hold of your answered prayer, which is the redemption, the redeeming of whatever situation you've looked at and counted as loss. If it's a health situation, you've counted as this is the way it's always going to be. If it's a financial situation, if it's a relationship, whatever it is that you've accepted and looked at and said, this is just the way it's going to be. Anathoth means answered prayer. Grab hold of that restoration, that restored situation, that redemption that He has brought to it. This is what the promise of the field of Anathoth is all about. The promise of the field of Anathoth is He will redeem every situation in your life. And, again, has redeemed that every situation. I need to remember this. We need to remember this as we go into a brand new year, as we start this brand new year. This is what we need to have our minds set on. Because whether or not you've seen it now makes no difference. If you understand that as a concept of truth, then you continue to believe, you continue to act upon that, and you will see it come to pass in your life. It's a promise for you, just as it was a promise for the people in Jeremiah's time. If we go to the end, towards the end of Jeremiah chapter 32, it says this in verse number 44. Men will buy fields for money, sign deeds and seal them, and take witnesses into the land of Benjamin, in the places around Jerusalem, in the cities of Judah, in the cities of the mountains, in the cities of the lowland, in the cities of the south. For I will cause their captives to return, says the Lord. This is God saying to the people of Judah, He's going to return. It's not going to be for one or two generations. It'll be 70 years. But God will redeem and restore the promised land to those that He gave it to, because He redeems every situation. These are the promises that He has for us. Your situation is being reversed. Your hopeless situation is being reversed. It's being restored at Anathoth. So don't take those things from 2013 or the past. Don't take them into the new year. Let them go. Learn from Jeremiah the lesson of the purchase of the field to Anathoth. And that lesson is simply that Jesus Christ redeems all things and has already redeemed. We just have to grab hold of it. Amen. Amen.